Hi, Matt. I have it.
Hello. Great. So we're ready to get started.
Okay. Sweet. Well, I guess we can call this meeting to order. Do we need to do a roll call for the record, or are we good?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think so. So, Andres, you want to start talking about the RFP?
That was a yes, unfortunately. You have to do a roll call.
Sorry, guys. I'm going to mute again.
Okay.
So that was a yes. Unfortunately, we need a roll call.
Oh, we do need to do roll call. Okay.
Yes.
Well, Katrina Holland, Community Alliance of Tenants.
Ian?
Ian, with Home Forward.
Great, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, Andres, you want to go ahead and get into the RFP work plan and upcoming meeting?
Yeah. So to give you an overview of where we're at, this is a reminder, none of the dates that we have changed, but you are scheduled to continue working through screening criteria and security deposits. In July, you had a work session on security deposits. And now, in our August meeting, you're going to be finishing security deposits as well as having a work session on screening criteria. Then in September, Stacy, did we change that date?
I'd have to check.
Okay, we're gonna check if the September date has moved. But as of this time, our understanding is that screening criteria and security deposits will be going to City Council on the 20th, and September is also when you would be holding final hearings on screening criteria and security deposits to complete those position papers, for lack of a better word.
So quick question on that. Are we sure that security deposits and screening criteria are actually going on the 20th. I heard about the legal memo and the change in policy. Is Commissioner Udaly's office signaled that they're going to stick with that date, or?
Yes. This is
okay.
Matt. At this point, we don't have any other information about the council date other than the 20th, and that they're trying to make the 20th. So,
okay.
Now my personal opinion is it could easily get pushed back, but that being said, it has not been pushed back. And the word from Commissioner Udaly's office is they're trying to make the 20th, so I think we should try and plan accordingly. And as soon as we get new information, we can adjust the plan.
Okay. So my next question is, the most recent draft of screening criteria, given that change, has that been sent to RFC members for review, or would we be beginning discussions about screening criteria policy?
So you already had your introductory meeting to it. Matt has something
uh-huh.
to say.
So I know there are versions being updated in almost real time this week. Jamie has not
uh-huh.
sent something for distribution to the Rental Services Commission. I have a meeting with her tomorrow about some other things, and I can ask her in that meeting. I can let her know that RSC members are aware that some changes are happening and that they would like the most updated version or to understand how they can fit into this process. But at this point, we haven't gotten anything from Commissioner Udaly's office with the direction to send it out to the Rental Services Commission for comment.
Okay.
So I thought that, this is Ian, I thought that last time before the July meeting, we had received like a new draft that was the, I think it was being called like legal aids draft. It was very different, and I don't think we've gotten an intro on that. I think that when Jamie gave the intro a few months ago, it was very specifically on the other draft that was being worked off of. So I feel like the RSC has gotten the newer draft that's almost entirely different. And so is that accurate?
That is correct.
That's a little bit, yeah, okay. So I don't think any context has been laid for that. Maybe we briefly touched on it at the last meeting, but we were pretty focused on security deposits. I think at a minimum, I mean, I hope Jamie's available to start talking about this new draft, but at a minimum, we should address it, because even I was like, wait, where did this come from? And I've been fairly in the loop with legal aid and with Jamie, and anyway.
Yeah, so you're correct. It has been a substantial change. I know that Jamie was hoping to do that presentation at our last meeting, but we ran out of time. I also know that at the time she had asked representatives of Fair Housing Council and Legal Aid to help give context for that presentation. Christina has expressed that a desire to make sure that happens since she's going to be out on leave for this coming meeting and a number of meetings in the future depending on her availability. And so I think that there's still a desire to give that context, and I think part of what the ask is to you as executive committee members is which way to steer the commission, given the position that the commission's at with information, given where these policies are at and the nature of them changing, sometimes substantially, and the anticipated timeline for council.
Well,
so I guess my main question that I would be asking Jamie if she were on the call is, you know, do we think that there's going to be a blend of the two? Are we going back to the other one, or is it pretty clear that we're moving forward on the, you know, again, for lack of a better term, legal aid approach? And if so, it's a more sort of traditional statutory framework, which is fine, and I don't know, but I guess I haven't dug in to see if the substance is the same or if it's entirely different. So that's kind of the 90-second intro I'd want to hear from their office. And then how much, like, has there already been a discussion around, you know, this is the approach we definitely want to go? I guess I'm saying we from the council standpoint, or from, frankly, the mayor's office as commissioner, or from UDaily's office. So I don't know if you all, Matt, if you or anyone has a sense of that, but that's really what I think we need to know, because I will dig into that other document that was sent out by Stacey and look over it. I just don't want to do that if it's going to change again, or if we think that before, I guess, a week and a half from now, we're going to have something else.
So
yeah, I was just going to say I'm curious about the same thing, especially where Mayor Wheeler's at.
Well, okay, so there's a bunch of questions in there. I'm going to answer two of them and not answer some of the others.
Thanks. I'm just kidding.
So one question is, are we going back to the old scoreboard version for, I don't know what we're calling it, the original version, the points and all that?
Scale.
So my understanding, and I'm 99% confident of this, is that that version is done. That Commissioner Daly's office has moved on to the version, Ian, that you're calling the legal aid version, but that version is going through changes as we speak. So even the version that was shared with you, the old version, the old legal aid version, or the legal aid, just the legal aid version, that is changing as we speak, as Katrina referenced earlier on the call. So, no,
yep.
Don't spend time on the scoreboard version. Yes, they're working off of the legal aid version. Yes, it's changing from that copy. That's what I can answer.
Okay.
That's what I can answer of all those questions.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Sounds good.
And no, I don't know time.
So, I mean,
and no, I don't know time. Sorry, Katrina, just real quick. No, I don't know timelines for when a next final draft or a final draft will be ready.
Where is the mayor on this, given the updated information?
I have not.
Or given the legal memo?
I have not spoken with the mayor's office about this. So, I mean, to be just really candid, I think, I mean, Katrina is referencing it. It's changing this week, and I don't know what process is being used, and I don't know who's involved in that process, so I don't know if Jamie is working with the mayor's office at this point or not. These are conversations that we need to have with them at the staff level, but this is all information I don't know at this point.
So it sounds like we need to be ready. I hear two things. I hear that in order for the RNC to feel like there was some meaningful contribution and to be able to pass a policy that makes the most sense, we should, A, have the most updated version. B, we should schedule some time to work on that new and updated version if we haven't had the opportunity to do that yet and we only did a work session or introductory meeting on the numbered scale. And C, it sounds like we need to be prepared for a longer timeline if, in fact, it does get pushed back. My question to you all is, given that the City Council passed the ordinance around rental registration, how do those timelines work together from your perspective as staff?
So I think that part of the challenge will be knowing what the new timeline is for screening criteria and security deposits. For rental registration, we don't anticipate to have any information from the registration until October of next year.
I mean, as soon as tax filing, but...
Right, and then there's an automatic deferral period.
Yeah.
So we don't anticipate to have rental registration information for a while, and subsequently the policy decisions around how do we structure the registration and what fields do we want to collect in the future, what should the fee structure be, those kind of policy components that are what the RSC will be dealing with don't at this time have an urgent timeline. So those are priorities from the mayor's office and are topics that the RSC has been asked to weigh in on. But at this time, we don't have a sense of time urgency or a pressing need to do that immediately.
Okay.
So I'm hearing like really loud beeping. I don't know if anyone else is.
Sorry, that's me. I'll mute.
Oh. So the thing that I would want to hear, I think, I'll just say I'm going in sort of with the assumption that it is going forward in September, and I think the RSC, we shouldn't really be caught flat-footed if, in fact, it does. I know it's been pushed a lot, but I feel some urgency and sort of political will to get this through, and, you know, that's 6 weeks from now, but I think we should be prepared for that to happen, recognizing that it may not. So I'd at least like to have a substantive discussion on it this month and, if possible, in September. And so to me, then, like, the ideal framework I could see for that is having a document that I think that document was like 4 pages or 6 pages that sort of focuses on the settled items and then the items that are still sort of hotly contested at, you know, either the commission level or within the landlord-tenant community or at the council level. And I don't know how candid Jamie feels she can be about that, but I feel like she has been pretty candid in most of the meetings we've had. And so then it would allow us to say, okay, these are the subtle items. Let's talk about those, maybe have a process like we had with security deposits where the legislation was pretty specific and we could go down to the word and say, well, change this or that. And then the other more contested items that may change up till like the week before, the day before, we can at least have some sort of policy recommendations on and say, well, if we were in the room, we don't have the time to be in the room every day talking about this, but here's where we would want to sort of push that.
You're suggesting that we need to focus on that in August and September for both meetings?
Well, I mean, Katrina, I'm remembering that I don't think you were able to make the last RSC meeting, but that there was sort of, both Christian and I were just nervous about, and Andres and Stacy, about the timeline, because, you know, we want to be able to have input on that, but we had security deposits, which I think was, maybe contrary to popular belief, pretty successful and productive last meeting. So I think we are ready to move on to screening criteria, but then we only have two meetings to do that if we're aiming at the September 20th or whatever deadline. Mm-hmm. And so I would just want to be, like, pretty hyper-focused on, like, what are the issues that are basically resolved, and do we have strong opinions on those, and what are the issues that aren't resolved, and where would we want those to try to go? So that staff would have time to put something together that, you know, that could go to the mayor.
So I think that those are two good asks. I think we can definitely pass that along to Commissioner Udaly's office and see the ability to get a list of relatively settled items and changing items. Obviously, the accuracy of that's hard to tell, because at any given point in time, an item can become contentious and change, but I think that we can ask for it and try to get that by the next meeting. The rest of what you were saying, I think it makes sense to pivot into the next agenda item, which is about the remaining security deposit items. So the commission worked through, I got 12 recorded action items from the last meeting that you all had on security deposits. And a few of them were deferred to Fair Housing Council, which they've gotten back to us on. And then there was, I think, around three that hadn't been addressed that were just typical action items. But what I wanted to focus on more is coming out of the last meeting, I think that where staff is at and the feedback that we've heard from the mayor's office is that there's still a desire to get a broader opinion letter from the commission. And so to share where my current thinking is at, I think that the action items have been an effective format, and the way I've been thinking about it is when council created the Rental Services Commission, it did it with two major intents. It was coming off of the Relocation Assistance Technical Advisory Group, which served initially to provide very specific technical changes to the act to make it more workable for everyone involved, and a number of members of the RSC served on that group. But then soon it kind of outgrew that initial purpose for the group and turned into this ongoing policy advising group. And while they were never asked to produce any sort of final documents, there was a sense of the group had shifted from simply providing technical feedback on the act to council and more into a broader, what are the policy considerations and where did these people land on them? And so that becomes relevant to the Rental Services Commission, because in founding this group, council, I think, still held a similar intent where the body is staffed with experts in their respective fields and in the landlord-tenant relationship in Portland. And so they have a unique insight into the technical considerations of what does it mean to pass screening criteria reform or security deposit reform. How will that actually affect the practice of being a landlord in Portland or the experience of tenants in Portland? And so there is still a need for that technical expertise, which I think the commission has kind of organically addressed by creating action items and weighing in on specific action items. But then there's still a broader desire to hear where the commission stands on the policy considerations. So it's difficult because they're very closely connected, but there is a desire to hear, recognizing that the commission won't reach consensus, but where does the commission stand on security deposits? And that becomes the substance of the majority and minority letters that the commission sends to council. And so where my thinking at right now is that the action items will be useful, and they already have been useful. We've heard responses from Commissioner Udaly's office in response to the first draft of them. But they won't be the substance of the position papers that summarize what the Rental Services Commission thinks in a big picture, stepping back from the technical changes, about security deposits. And so that's a component of the security deposit conversation that I think still needs to be addressed.
So you're looking for, or the mayor's looking for, a letter that says, we are in support or we do not support this policy because of X, Y, and Z reasons, and here are the ways it should change from this side of the table, and here are the ways it should change from this side of the table.
I think that that is the ideal in broad strokes. What do you think and why?
So it sounds like we need to spend some of that time, at least in the next meeting or within the next two meetings, formulating that opinion. I think the difficulty is, and I can just speak for myself here as a tenant advocate, it's difficult for me to say yes or no to security deposits without having some sort of finalized structure of screening criteria, because each one affects the other, and we've seen that in how we've been discussing these policies over and over again. So, I mean, I think, because right now as it stands, if we don't have anything to pass for screening criteria on September 20th, or if it's going to be moved to January or something, and Commissioner Udaly is looking to pass some security deposits in September, CAT would be opposed to that, because we think both of them need to be done together, because one affects the other so intimately. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think that that's something that can definitely be expressed in a letter. It is possible to have conditional support. We want to limit that because it shouldn't get to the extent where we have conditional support as long as we get further clarity about contiguous flooring and non-structural items. But I think it is fair to say contingent support upon understanding that these should be passed together, if that was something that a contingent of the commission was willing to back. I think you also raised another point, which is that it is possible to defer that conversation until September, to when the screening criteria letter is being finalized as well. But I will warn you that that meeting will be like our July meeting for security deposits, in that you're working through all of the action items. So it will already be a tight agenda to also have a conversation about where does the commission sit broadly on these two policies.
So I would advocate that we do defer the conversation to September, just so we can have a pretty good idea of what happens with screening criteria. Ian, do you have any thoughts on that?
Okay, can you say that again? You mean defer the final security deposit conversation?
Defer the final security deposit, right, defer the final security deposit decision, and also the draft of whatever letter we're going to submit to the mayor's office until after we've discussed screening criteria.
That's fine with me. I think that we'll just need to explain that to the group because, well, I mean, only Christian and I were, and Katrina, I'm forgetting if you called in, but only we were at the last RSC meeting, and I don't know that we, that we sort of expressed at the beginning of the last RSC meeting the difficulties with timing. So I have a little bit of worry that they think, well, we need to speed along on screening criteria, and then suddenly we pull back and say, oh, we're going to speed along on that and pause on security deposits. So maybe that's just my anxiety speaking, and I think it's easy to explain. We just need to do that up front.
Yeah.
And then I had one other question about, let me ask the capacity issue. Do staff have capacity for that if we're waiting on both and then suddenly Andres, your team and Stacey's needs to buckle down and get, you know, basically a majority opinion out on two different big policy items? Is that something that you're feeling you could do? Like, let's say that our meeting was September 16th and it's going before council a few days later. Is it workable?
It could be possible. It will definitely be challenging, but the other challenge will be getting the commission's input on those drafts. So the bylaws process set out a timeline where staff creates a draft opinion. At that point, the commission has a period of time to review it, to submit any changes or concerns with it, and then to submit their own opinion. And so I think that's the timeline that would be impacted.
Well, I mean, that's policymaking, right? I'm not particularly worried about that. I mean, that's just what we have to do. Otherwise, the only other option we have is to make the meeting earlier than September 16th, or ask Commissioner Udaly to push the hearing further. Unless there are other things that I'm not thinking about.
And I think that's exactly the kind of trade-offs, which is why I wanted to come to the executive committee with this, because understanding that if we pick up the coming meeting talking about security deposits and continuing that conversation, then we will be cutting into the time where we talk about screening criteria. If we start with screening criteria and don't finalize security deposits, then we're cutting into the time that the commission has the option of commenting on drafts of security deposits. And so from the beginning, it's been clear that with the September timeline, we are going to be rushed, that we will have difficulty getting everything done in time to meet the deadlines that are occurring. And so there are decisions on where we prioritize items, understanding that not everything will be left with enough time as we might desire to make a September 20th date. And so that decision of what goes first, and then subsequently, what do we cut the amount of time we have for, is part of the decision I'm asking you all to think about.
Well, so I guess, Katrina, is your position that, like, I can't have any commentary at all on a potential draft without having seen screening criteria? Or do you think that there's still, like, 15 minutes of productive conversation we can have about a majority and minority opinion to at least have let that body, the RSC, see it and talk about it before, like, mid-September?
You're saying see security deposit legislation, finalized draft of security deposit legislation based off of our comments?
Well, not so much legislation, but opinion. Because my feeling is, you know, this is a volunteer board, and I don't want, or commission, and I wouldn't want to say to them, hey, everybody look this over on your own time and then send us your opinions on your own time, because I just know that realistically we're not going to get the level of discussion or input that we would want, and I don't think we can necessarily expect that of everyone anyway. So to me, just in terms of getting people's eyes on things, even if we, like, severely limit the conversation, it's helpful to do some chunk in August so that there are draft opinions, and it's fine if we even preface it with, hey, we can decide on this because screening criteria is really important and we need to have a whole discussion on that before we can say, you know, final positions on this. But we wanted everybody to have a few minutes just to sort of vet these drafts in August, and then September we'll finalize screening criteria and you have at least had a chance to look at it. That's just my concern is, you know, we are pushing this fast agenda, and I don't want it to, like, undercut everything where people are like, well, we just couldn't see it, and so the process on a huge policy item was screwed up, and, you know, when it goes to council, they don't have the ability to say this was fully vetted with the RSC and resulted in these great outcomes.
I agree with you. I guess I'm worried about conveying the message, especially if the entire RSC doesn't share the same opinion as CAT. I'm worried about us giving an opinion on security deposits, sending a message that it's okay to pass that without passing subsequent or passing screening criteria legislation simultaneously. That is a very real fear. I mean, granted, that means we just have our own internal work to do to make sure to communicate with each office about what our priorities are, but
So this is kind of the, and maybe this is a lawyer in me, the bylaws contemplate that, right? The bylaws contemplate majority, minority, and then if, I think, Andres, correct me if I'm wrong on this, if you don't agree, you can put in your own opinion and say, we don't agree for these reasons. Is that generally right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So that already is sort of the structure where, yeah, any individual who sort of represents a body like you and Kat would be put in that frankly, awkward position, but I wouldn't want to undercut the bigger process or our bylaws just because of, you know, and not have people have the chance to look at it. I don't know. I might be overthinking this, but I would just be really nervous about trying to push screening criteria into two meetings, and then at the end of that meeting saying, well, here's our draft report on security deposits, and we'll send you something by email, and, you know, look it all over and let us know what you think.
Well, I mean, if I'm honest, I think you are overthinking it a little bit, if I'm honest. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. Just because we've already had an opportunity to look through screening criteria, or excuse me, security deposits pretty in depth at the last meeting, and folks have had an opportunity to have it in front of their faces for a really long time. So I don't imagine that it would be difficult for people to give opinions, you know, over a period of 20 to 30 minutes of what they think of security deposits and what they want to recommend. I don't see that being a barrier at all, because we've already had so much time to look at it and work on it. And we haven't done that
right.
With training criteria.
Right, but you want to save that for September, though, as well.
Right. Hearing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of a procedural question on this. When we are issuing an opinion, can we mesh the two together, or would they be separate for each policy?
I think that for clarity, they should be separate. I think that I just want to revisit again the idea of you can introduce, Katrina, the idea that the policies should be interconnected, that they shouldn't pass without the other policy passing as well. And if that's something that there's shared support for, that would be a part of the position that opinion took.
I see. Can we make the request to mesh them together?
I mean, procedurally, the Rental Services Commission has the ability to decide what format it issues opinions in. I think that, to my understanding, they will be introduced as two separate pieces of legislation, but we can definitely ask Jamie that question.
I think we should ask the commission that, too.
Okay.
As safe as possible. Because, like I said, I really, they're so inextricably linked. They really are. And so I think, granted, we've never drafted one of these letters before, but I think sending those together would help to send a stronger message that they do need to be done. They do need to be passed together.
I think the only caution there is it is going to be challenging at all to take the Rental Services Commission, which has a variety of perspectives, and coalesce them into a majority opinion and a minority opinion. And to then have those same contingencies be in agreement on not just screening criteria but also security deposits could make it more difficult to form two positions, where the people who agree on screening criteria might not be the exact same people who agree on security deposits. And so by melding them, finding those two groups of people could become a more challenging process.
Yes, it could. What do you think, Ian?
I think I am with Andres on this one. Where I think your concern is we need to be clear about them being contingent upon each other, and I think that that's something that has been made pretty clear throughout the community already and has resulted in a lot of the slowing down on this, and that we can always reiterate in either individually or as a commission. I don't have a concern about one going forward without the other. I guess when it really comes down to it, if there are two separate pieces of legislation, council could pass one and the other, which I think would be tough to get majorities to do one and not the other. So that could happen. I think, again, speaking candidly, that Jamie is thinking this through in a way that gets them both to yes at the same time.
And I think Commissioner...
Or gets them both to yes or no at the same time.
And I think Commissioner Daly's office has been consistent, even in delaying bringing security deposits forward, where they feel like that policy is complete, but they do not want to introduce it without screening criteria because they feel like they are connected and should be presented as a connected policy. And so if I can see what I can do in following up with Jamie and seeing if we can get more clarity about that commitment, if that would help, Katrina.
Yeah, I think that would help. I still think I would like to see August meeting focused on whatever most recent draft of screening criteria is available. I would like us to dive in deep into that, take the first half of the September meeting to do the same thing, and then the last hour or so, hour 45 minutes, drafting our opinions for both separately. That is a tough task, Ian. I don't make light of that.
I don't think it's impossible. I just don't think it's going to be possible to... I mean, so staff are ultimately going to do the actual drafting of those based on the conversation, and I just don't quite see how... Well, I don't know, Andres, I'd kick it to you. How would you structure that? Like, it seems to me that you all could have drafts for the security deposit stuff, you know, next week. But how would you put together the screening criteria draft based on a conversation in September?
So at the risk of complicating this conversation further by not concluding this, I want to do a time check because we're 17 minutes out and we still have to talk about the format of the screening criteria conversation, but I think that something we identified from how we handled security deposits is we came out of the meeting where we discussed the action items and we still didn't have clarity on the content of the position papers. And so I think that as we open the conversation on screening criteria, there's room to think about how we structure that conversation and the potential to get clarity on those items of where do people stand more broadly, which would allow us to begin drafting a screening criteria paper. Because ultimately the group won't finalize how it feels until September, but right now, as staff, I don't have clarity on these people felt this way broadly, these people felt this way broadly, here's how it relates to the format that the bylaws have laid out. But as we enter the screening criteria conversation, depending on how we structure that and how we pose the questions to the commission, we can get that information on the front end, which would allow me as staff to begin drafting the opinion for screening criteria, which wouldn't be finalized until September, but would give the commission some time to start looking at the draft and flushing out any concerns they have.
Do you feel like you have that sense with security deposits?
I do not, because I think that what we heard from the commission was responses to technical action items, and there were no clear blocks in how people voted.
So I think one of the best ways to move this forward, and maybe I'm being a little bit, I'm rushing ahead a little bit, but I think that the way we can structure both the security deposit and the screening criteria conversation is to take blocks of the policy to say, are people in support, yes or no? So we get the number of people who are in support of block A or whatever in the policy. If there are any concerns, we give a certain amount of time for people to air their concerns, limit folks talking time to like 30 seconds or a minute, and then Andres and other PHB staff can record what those concerns are, and then based off of what the vote count is, we can do a final vote of, you know, does the RSC approve this policy in its entirety, yes or no. We give the same amount of time to go through people's concerns, and then we have structured the paper for security deposits and for screening criteria, and I think we can do that for both. Yeah, that's my suggestion. Because the problem is people just start talking and continue to talk for a long time and get lost in the details, and so we need, I think if we structure it based off of voting yes or no, put your name tag up or the sign, whatever. Put your name sign up if you agree with it. Leave it down if you don't. I think that would help. That would help give a little bit more clarity that you're looking for on the day.
And so this is Matt. But the only comment I want to interject is, we really need the executive committee members to keep the commission on task.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't just be staff. And I know that two of you, but the three executive committee members have strong perspectives on the legislation itself, and we want to make sure we get your feedback on the record and integrated. But as far as actually structuring the meeting, interrupting people and stopping them from talking for long periods of time or talking about things that aren't relevant, but keeping the product of the meeting in mind as the executive committee working together to get to that process in the time we have. So that's not to say that you haven't been, but that is definitely something that will be needed from kind of your leadership
okay.
in this role for these next couple of meetings.
That's fair.
So what I wrote down okay. from... go ahead, Ian.
No, go ahead, Andres.
So what I wrote down from what you said, Katrina, was the idea of to get positions from the RSC to go block by block and just ask a yes, no, if people support it or not, and then asking for concerns or further details with an emphasis on people...
In a limited amount of time.
Being brief, yes. And then to do the same thing with the whole policy.
Right.
And I think that that is the context that I would need a staff to write a position paper or multiple position papers for the RSC on a policy.
Okay. Are you okay with that format, Ian?
I'm fine with that. My question is if we don't get to that for either issue until mid-September, are we telling commissioners this is your chance and you will, like I'm trying to think through the bylaws here, this is your chance and you will not get another chance to weigh in on the final product?
Well, so I think that's where we have a little bit of leeway, right? I think if it really comes down to it and we don't have enough time or we really truly believe that we're not able to get opinion to be able to draft a paper that's going to be available to the council in these two meetings, then I think we should ask the RSC if they're open to a third in between. Because I do not see a path forward in being able to discuss. I mean, I know what's I'm trying to phrase this right. I want to make sure that people have enough time to be able to drill down into screening criteria. And based off of what happened with security deposits, one meeting is not enough.
Right. I don't think it's necessarily problematic. I just want to be clear with the group. So, you know, if we say at the end of the meeting, like, we got to limit time, we got to be more disciplined here, here's what we're doing this meeting, here's what we're doing next meeting, and then we're taking the second half of the September meeting to finalize where people stand. I'm fine doing that. I just want to be clear with them up front. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to be concerned about the bylaws. I just don't want us to make a decision here that undercuts the process in that group where people don't feel... you know, franchise. But I'm saying I'm fine with all that if it's within our bylaws moves us forward.
So do you think we should just call a third meeting then?
I'm going to defer to
third one?
The staff on that. I'm going to defer to staff because, I mean, just scheduling August, I think, was out of the normal. Is that right?
Yeah. I think the challenge you run into is attendance. Right now, we have everyone confirming that they're going to make the August meeting, I believe, with the exception of Christina. And we'll see what attendance is at the August meeting. I think that if you were going to add an additional meeting, it would be between the August meeting and the September meeting. And so you'd be asking the commission to meet twice in a roughly 2-week period of time.
The only thing I would add to that is it's going to be really key at which meetings you take your vote. So if we have good attendance at the August meeting, we assume we're going to have good attendance at the September meeting because it's been on people's calendars. So you got to think about it from a when do the actual votes on the position papers occur? Because you wouldn't want it to be at a meeting where there's low attendance. That hasn't been on people's schedules, just from a kind of a legislative management.
Mm-hmm. So what about extending September's meeting?
You mean making...
It's already 2:30 to 5 on the 18th, right?
That is the...
30 to 5?
2:30 to 5 on the 18th.
Which is 2 days before the hearing.
And we've done a poll because that day was the evening before Yom Kippur. And so we have an earlier time that not everyone can make. So the meeting might be pushed up. That's something that we'll be confirming with all of you. But that is the current time on people's calendars is September 18th.
Right.
You can certainly pull the
okay,
group.
So we've only...
Lori Sandman?
So we can certainly pull the group, but I think the odds of getting a lot of folks there are not good. Stacy would have a better sense of that.
Well, I mean, I think we got to do something. Leaving it as is, if we only have 2 days before the 20th, we have to figure out something. So my proposal is either that we call a meeting in between August and September, or we ask for the meeting to begin at 1:30.
So when I sent a doodle poll to see if we could reschedule September, I think we had about 10 people who could make it. I think the date was September 6th or 7th. It was a Friday.
And then I believe...
But Yoni was one of the people who could not make it.
Yeah.
So could we take the 6th or the 7th and schedule an interim?
That would be an option. I think that you'd have to check with the entire group about whether they'd be able to do both meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess in terms of...
I think if we can text... Oh, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I was just going to say, I think if we convey... This is going before council on the 20th. If you want to give your opinion, come. Then hopefully we would get pretty good turnout.
So I think that's an option. I think you would want to ask the commission in person, which would happen at the August meeting. And so the question for you all in the next 5 minutes is that you still have to decide what you're talking about at this month's meeting, whether or not the commission is willing to meet on the 7th and the 18th, or just on one of those days.
So just formulaically, I think it's pretty clear to me that we need to have an intro on screening criteria, we need to have some public testimony, and then we need to have discussion. And whether that takes a full 2.5 hours, And we skip security deposits, I guess that's the issue for me. And we need to have a few minutes of, like, you know, housekeeping, at least a few minutes to talk about this issue and just sort of the general pressure that we're under time-wise anyway. Does that sound right?
Yeah, and so for the screening criteria conversation, it's as part of the discussion, there's a question of whether that discussion should prioritize generating a list of action items like we did for security deposits or flushing out policy positions like we have to do still on security deposits.
Well, I think that's kind of why I was trying to get an answer from Jamie about like what are the disputes at this point, because then I think we could have that higher level policy items discussion and not get bogged down like we did with security deposits on very specific items. So that's my two cents. I don't think we have time or the luxury of doing a longer action items issue. Or it could be that the items that are fairly settled, there's some action items out of that we at least talk about and wordsmith, and then the broader policy items that aren't settled, we just have opinions on.
That makes sense.
So what I'm hearing
was that actually clear enough to.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is I've written down different components of it, and I'm hearing support for prioritizing the big picture. Once we have a firmer sense of this is the policy, or at least these are the components that are or aren't changing, where does everyone stand on it? And prioritizing that, and doing action items as there's time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I am. So to me, it's 10 minutes of, you know, like housekeeping items. It's 30 minutes of Jamie explaining where we are in security deposits. I'm sorry, screening criteria. It's, I don't know, 30 minutes of public testimony. So that brings us to an hour 10. And then it's, an hour 20 of identifying those policy issues and talking them through as a group, I guess, discussion.
And this is September's meeting, right?
No, this is August. And then we, as part of the 10 minutes up front, we would say to folks, hey, we are, you know, do we want to do a second meeting in between August and September? And do we want to, you know, is everybody comfortable with, well, I don't know if we should open it up this way, but we need to have a discussion around here's how the, you know, the final issue is going to go with these advisory opinions. Because if people say to us we're not comfortable having another meeting, then we're back into this corner where we will have the September meeting, and we will, I guess we need to be ready to say, okay, if we're not having a second meeting, then in September we will be presenting the finalish draft to you, and you'll need to, you know, give us an up-down vote on that. Now, whether it's you need to give
a vote on
this full minority-majority opinion, or whether it's we're going to break those minority-majority opinions into, you know, 10 different policy items, I don't know. That's still sort of an open question. But we do need to be prepared to say to people, okay, in September, it's the big meeting where you're voting on both of these. You should plan to be there, and that's your chance to do that.
Yeah. I think setting up and managing expectations is the way to go.
Okay.
We're kind of stuck. If they're going to move forward on the 20th, they're going to move forward on the 20th, and if people want to have input in it, then we got to do what we got to do.
Okay. I think
so. Just one last question, and maybe this is from Matt, given your experience with the commission. Matt, do you feel comfortable with us asking for another in-between meeting?
Well, I think that's fine. I think the challenge will be attendance and then rehashing the same conversations. I think this is at the meeting after, because attendance wasn't good at the in-between meeting. I think it's fine asking for another meeting. I think these next few meetings, whether they're two or three, or, and I already said this, but it will definitely require you all to go to a place of a little bit more, a little bit more strict mm-hmm. than I think you have, which is fine, and I hope you're comfortable with it, to really get the commission to a product in the number of meetings we have under the circumstances that we have.
And as
we'll do it.
As staff,
I'm committed to do that. Are you committed to do that, Ian?
Yeah, but more so I want to make sure Christian is. So if Andres or Stacy could check in with him and give that guidance, that'd be helpful.
Of course. And as staff, we're here to support you, and we will do our best to help set expectations, because I think if the group knows what to expect, they will be more receptive to task managing the conversation. And we'll be doing our best to support you, but it will be on you to keep the conversation flowing according to the times you've set.
Okay. Aww, baby.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I should go.
Okay.
Thanks all.
Thank you both.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ian.
Okay.